with the third pick. I made the earth sick.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. It's another edition of the Third Pick Podcast, man. As usual, it's your host, Scott Mariano, man. You know to follow us on Twitter. You can follow me at Barbchair Scott on Twitter and Instagram. Mariano, let them know they can get in tune with you.
Yeah, man, you already know the deal, man. You know the voice, you know the headline and all that. at Mariano on Twitter, two N's, two O's. Well, we out here, my nigga. We are fucking out here.
We are definitely out here, man. I just got a little announcement. Starting next week, we'll have video for y'all.
Mm-hmm.
Of this glorious podcast and every other podcast we have. So if you want to see the video, you got to subscribe to the Patreon, patreon.com/barbershairnetwork.
And hey, just, go pay that five, man.
Go pay the five. You know, if you don't want to pay the five, you still get the audio. You know, I'm not.
You don't pay the five. You know what I mean? You get the Luis gonna come down to your shit. You know what I mean? Cut the shit off and all that, man. You know what I mean?
Exactly. So if you want to see the guys. Pay the five, you know what I'm saying? That's that round. I ain't even attempting that round, but you know, as usual, man, we're here to talk about Bulls basketball. Before we get into that, man, I just want your thoughts on the halftime show this weekend. I'm gonna give you the platform to brag about your man Matthew Stafford because you called the last,
yeah, man. Shout out to John Matthew Stafford, Super Bowl champion, you know, honorary Detroit nigga. And the reason why I say that is because, like, I think he really embodied, like, what the city was about, like, the time that he spent there. He was one of my pop's favorite players. My pop was a Lions fan, you know, his whole life. Couldn't get the nigga to convert for nothing, dog.
Couldn't get tried.
But Matt Stafford was his guy, and it kind of made me pay attention to him a little bit more. You know what I'm saying? And I've always had nothing but great things to say about him. I always thought that when people said, oh, Matt Stafford can't win the big game. Show me the big game the Lions were in.
Right.
What big game? It was only a big game because he was in it, and you think he's a big-time player. Like, that's really it. You know what I'm saying? So, shout-out to him. I will say I feel bad for Odell. I feel it's kind of like 50-50. One, he had a great impact on the game. He scored early, and I think his numbers were like four catches, 52 yards, and a touchdown. Before I think Cooper Kupp had that in, like, the third quarter. Like, it took him to the – you know what I'm saying? So, Odell made a hell of an impact before he got hurt. I'm glad he's a champion now. You know, I respect him, but yeah, I'm definitely happy for Stafford because he finally got that shit behind him, and it's like nothing you can say about him now. You know what I'm saying? Like, you can say whatever. Oh, he can't win. He can't do this. Like, cool. He just went out there and chipped up, drunk at the parade like a real nigga. So shout out to John Matthew Stafford, man. That's my guy, man.
And we're gonna talk about people being upset at him for not helping that woman on Summer Sessions today. That's one. I got a take on that.
I know exactly what that was, and I'm sure you do too. So
of course, every nigga knows exactly what that is.
Absolutely. Yeah.
But what'd you think of the halftime show, man?
Man, the halftime show was perfect, and I tell you, it exceeded my expectations because I think going into it, I wasn't necessarily like crazy about it because I was like, okay. They're going to bring him out and we're going to, you know, whatever. But that shit was dope. It brought back nostalgia like a motherfucker, dog. Like, hearing all those songs again, it felt like the first time, like, when 50 was out there and, you know, I'm seeing everybody confused on the timeline. Like, oh, you got 50 hanging upside down. I'm like, yeah, nigga, they have 50 hanging upside down in the original video. Like,
what, yeah, we're losing
where
recipes,
are you
going? Man.
Yeah, the fuck is you into?
We're losing recipes.
Yeah, we definitely are, man. I thought it was dope to see Snoop out there hitting the weed, Crip walking on TV. You know, just all around having hip hop, you know, presented on that stage like that, like in front of the world, where you know that, like, traditionally those acts are not, they right. not having no all, you know what I'm saying? Like, Mary was out there, like, it was, you know, power reunion on the stage and shit. You feel me? So, I thought it was great, man. I thought Dre, Snoop, Mary, like, that whole just combination. Kendrick killed that shit.
Yeah.
I'm just keeping it 100. Like, Kendrick was like,
he used to
probably
highlight.
Was my favorite part of the thing, you know, because he stole the show. I feel like
he has a stage
there,
presence.
Yeah,
man,
when he came out there, I feel like yeah, I'm watching Snoop. Yeah, I'm watching Dre. But when K-Dot came out there, I'm all eyes are on him. Like, oh shit, like, what is he doing? So he's, you know, he's one of them. And I was listening to Good Kid, Mad City this morning. I was cleaning the crib up to that shit. Still a phenomenal album. Front
crazy, that shit's gonna be 10 years.
10 years, dog. 10 years, man, for real. And that shit still sound brand
that's crazy.
Fucking new. Yeah, man. Yeah. So. Yeah, I loved him. I love the halftime show. I think that they did great this year by having it out there in LA. You bring all the LA legends. You bring just like hip hop overall legends. And I wasn't even mad to see Eminem there. You know what I'm saying? Like, I wasn't mad about that. I wasn't tripping on that. That was you know, that was the only song he could play, really. That was the safest song in his catalog. Like, comb through his catalog, you like, you can't play that.
I love them in there because I need Black Twitter to stop acting like they never listened to Eminem before. That's one of the most irritating things.
I always tell niggas, Black Twitter. Stopped listening to Eminem in 02.
I did too.
After 02, I don't know about.
Well, actually, like, I didn't stop listening to 02. I stopped. I didn't feel anything else after 02 was like the shit that like I could still play now if I wanted to.
Only thing I liked after 02 was the song Toy Soldiers. The like Toy Soldiers, yeah. That shit is hard. Like that's I listen to that song like today. But M is one of them niggas who after 02, don't ask me about him. But before that, like
exactly, man. And it was just cool to see like different parts, you know, everybody on that stage outside of Mary J was founded by Dr. Dre.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And, you know, Mary J, her biggest. I guess probably her biggest hit on the track was probably Family Affair. It's probably Family Affair, so mm-hmm. that's, you know, her involved. But it was great.
I ain't know Dre was like that on the you know, I know he a beat making nigga and a music nigga, but on the piano he was like looking at that motherfucker. I was like, okay.
I'm a huge Dre stan. I think he's the greatest hip hop producer ever. I will battle niggas all day on that. But you know, and still DRE is the greatest beat I ever heard in my life. Two of my top five favorite rappers of all time are on the stage, Snoop and Kendrick. For those who don't know my list, it's a random ass list of my favorite rappers. Hove is number one, by far. It's Hove is number one. No particular order after Hove. Hove, Tupac, Snoop, Kendrick, and Cameron. That is my top five.
That's a very rappers. Yeah. That's well versed. Okay, that's a pretty diverse group. Right? I like that.
And I've got T.I. and 50, my first people off the bench.
Okay,
this was like I'm not mad rotation,
that.
Man. So that's
I'm
just
not mad at that at all.
I love, like you said, it was a nostalgia, and you know, it brought my teenage years, my early my years back, and you know, I had a blast, man. But anyway, man, football season's over, so basketball is the NBA is the only game in town because Rob Manfred is a bitch, and there's still no baseball.
It's over for baseball.
Yeah, it's over for baseball.
I'm buying the show this year, man. Too, I'm gonna get nice in that shit, dog.
We ain't gonna have no roster updates till like August, so you know, until that happens, and you know, whatever. But anyway, man, Chicago. Bulls, I can't even say the first half. This is like 75% of the season's done because we've only got 27 more games.
Yep.
But we're at the All-Star break, and the Bulls are sitting here at the worst. Now, when we're recording this, there's one last night of basketball. If Miami beats Charlotte tonight, at the worst, the Bulls will be tied for first. But if Miami loses, the Bulls have a full one game up on first. Mm-hmm. Either way, they're heading to Charlotte in first. I mean, heading to Cleveland in first place. At 38-17, coming in on a 5-game win streak, which is very important because we came on this podcast last week and said they needed to win these home games.
Yeah.
We said you need to go into the break with home winning these home games because the schedule gets rough. All-Star, the Bulls have the second hardest schedule in the NBA for the rest of the season. And they went out and took advantage of it, man. So let's just give some thoughts on, you know, what you've seen. Like, I think both of these teams have surpassed our predictions. I think I had 48 wins. I think you had like 49 or something like that.
Yeah. I think the highest I was willing to go was like, I was saying that we could be a 50-win team once we started out hot. But even that was still kind of like, if everything goes right, you know, we won 50 games. But yeah, I think we were right around the same number.
And here they are, 38 already.
38 already. You know, looking good as of late. They surprised me in the Sacramento game. They almost tricked it off. They looked like they were going to trick that game off. It looked like one of those, like, oh, here we go again. Like, you know, here this shit go. But, you know, they buckled down. They got the shit together. Shout out to Billy Donovan. Because over this stretch, he's been doing great as well. You know what I'm saying?
Like,
he's been coaching his ass off, dog. Like, you know, and I think that it's growing pains for everybody. It's him having to figure it out with these rotations, with players going in and out. You know, with the injuries and shit like that. So, I got to give credit to Billy Donovan, man, because, you know, a lot of those games, I predicted we was going to lose the Kings game. I thought Sabonis was going to have just one of them nights and it was just going to be whatever. But, shit, man, once we beat the Spurs, I was like, okay, cool. Yeah. Like, everything, this Kings game is whatever because I think I predicted all the other games. Like, yeah, let's go ahead and run these off and win them, especially that Thunder game. That game was a lot closer than it should have been.
Well, the Thunder always a tough team. The hands around. Like, Lou Dort had like fucking 30, man. It's like,
I was about to say, that nigga, man, listen.
Like, I understand Lou Dort has good games against, but 30 points is
on the but like, come on, 30, my nigga? Like, you can't, come on, dog. You can't
what are we doing?
I mean, shit, the Timberwolves game. really, that game was kind of like hanging in the balance for a minute. You know, I was surprised that we won by as much as we did. Then we beat them by like 12 or something like that. But yeah, 5-game winning streak. Again, I talked about this beginning of the season, throughout the season, on the pod. If you're going to win 50 games, if you're going to be a threat in the playoffs, you have to string together win streaks. And we've been stringing together win streaks. A couple of them. You know what I'm saying? You win 5. You win, what was it, 8 or some shit like
that?
9-game win streak. Then you win 5. Like, you have to do that. That's what good teams do. Good teams start rolling.
You lose, what better way another streak.
Yeah, what better way to do that than go right into All-Star weekend? You get you a little break. You got 5 on them. You up 5 right now. We chilling. So I'm nigga surprised, man. I'm gonna tell you that.
Yeah, they surprised me too. I love the way they play. We came up here last week when we did our get anybody off the ledge podcast. And by the way, God forgives, AK doesn't. We're gonna get on that later. A lot of y'all niggas was doubting, and me and Mariano try to tell y'all we don't get into AK, the silent assassin, later on in the show. But I just love how they play, man, especially with as undermanned as we've been. You know, Zach played the OKC game, did not look right. Yeah. Now I thought it was the back. I did not know it was his knee that was messing up. Because it was just like it's like he kept holding his back. And remember that oop? It was like an oop that IO threw to him. He barely got up.
I was about to say, I was like, don't do it. Don't do it. Yeah.
But I say the one thing about back spasms, I've had them. I've had them like, thank God I haven't had them in a minute, but like they used to come and go for like 3 years. Like I pulled something like work like 4 years ago, and like that is the one of the worst pains, bro. Like it makes walking to your kitchen a pain in the ass.
Breathing and sneezing and shit, dog. A task. Like, that shit is no joke.
And I can't even imagine playing basketball now. So, but he went out there and played a good game. And then we get news about, he's heading to LA to see a specialist. You never want to hear that type of shit. That scares the shit out of you.
Yeah.
But just to see how they play, without him. And Derrick Jones Jr., I got to give my hats off Derrick Jones Jr. because he's come back earlier than expected.
Yeah.
And you can tell that finger still hurts. You know, he's been dunking the shit out of the ball, and then he still grabbed that finger. And he said that he's still going to play. It's just a pain tolerance thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it just really just gives you, like, more of appreciation for these athletes, man, the kind of stuff that they go through. You know, a regular human being would be crippled with that type of injury.
You know how many times I done fake injured my knee or my ankle and be out doing some regular shit, and I'd be in the crib like, hey, man, I holler at me tomorrow. These niggas going out there competing against the best niggas in the world. You know what I'm saying? With a finger injury, bro. And like your main, point of attack is dunking the ball and playing defense and shit. Like, nah.
Yeah. And it's like everybody's been stepping up over this time. You know, Javante's been great. Like Javante's averaged 15 points, I think like 5 rebounds, something
like
that.
He's been one of my favorites all season.
Man, he's been so good. I seen somebody in Bulls, I forgot the name, I apologize, but they called him Super Nwaba. So Bulls fans are like David Nwaba, Super Nwaba. Like, that is an amazing comparison.
That's incredible.
He's just been a burst of energy. And since DJJ has come back and you got both of them, the defense has got better. But we really got to, tip our hats to the three main people who have really carried us in this win streak. And let's get into the MVP, as I like to call him, man. DeMar DeRozan has been on a crazy streak. He just beat a Wilt Chamberlain record that is held for 59 years. If people want to know how long this has been, the one and only Michael Jeffrey Jordan, the one who this podcast is named after, his birthday is today. Michael Jordan turns 59 today. Yep. So this means this record has been as old as Michael Jordan has been on planet fucking Earth. So for him to break that, and shooting, 35, for those of you who don't know the record, is 35 plus points, 7 games in a row, shooting over 50%. This is a guy who doesn't shoot three-pointers. This is a guy who shoots mid-range. Of course, it was a little easier for Wilt because he's a big man. Big men usually shoot higher percentages.
Yeah.
None of these shots that DeMar is taking are easy shots. So to have him go over there and doing that, one Eastern Conference Player of the Week, I think – I went from, he's in the MVP conversation, he should be in the top 3. I even said that on my show yesterday, he should be in the top 3. I'm just, after last night, though, he's the MVP right now. And this is why I think he's MVP. I respect what Joel Embiid is doing. Joel is hooping. He's taking the Sixers to another level. But they still 4 spots behind us.
Yeah.
Like, going off how the NBA votes, by record, too. It's 50% stats, 50% record. The stats are incredible. It's not like he's just averaging 30-some points. He's averaging seven, like six, seven assists over the stretch, too. And you got to look at it. The Bulls have had the most injuries that we, out of anybody in the league that we've dealt with.
Yeah.
So you got to put that into account, too, and you got them right in the middle of this title chase, and nobody's bringing the Bulls up with anything. All I keep hearing about is these other teams. I think we need to legitimately put him in that conversation of being MVP.
I think so. I think so, too, and I don't want people to think like this is just like we being biased because we Bulls fans.
Yeah.
Because we'll tell you quicker than anybody if a nigga got to go or if he on some bullshit or whatever because we're fans. Now, having said that, yes, right now he should be MVP because you got to think about it. Coming into the season, you had everybody, all these quote-unquote experts, not only saying that he was the worst signing, but that the Bulls at best were a play-in team.
Yeah.
We're number one in the East. Like you said, at worst, we'll be tied for it. You know what I'm saying? If Miami wins. So, I mean, like, what else do we need to say? Like, winning has to matter at a certain point. So,
yeah.
When you start putting up everybody else's stats, and like you said, Joel Embiid, tip my hat to him, salute, man. But that is a they're a favorite. They came in as a favorite. You know what I'm saying? Like, after their playoff run and, you know, the players that they got right now, whatever, cool. We weren't looked at as shit, and we still aren't, really. Like, it's disrespectful. But I like it like that. I don't like for us to be all on TV, niggas all on our shit. I don't want all that. Say that shit for the end when we surprise y'all niggas.
I'm with you with that. I really don't like the media glorification. I know a lot of fans like that shit. I don't like it.
I hate it. No, I absolutely hate it.
It boosts you up, and if you lose, the jokes are more crazy.
I hate it so much, bro. Like, I'm telling you, like real shit, I can't stand it. It's like, oh, man, these niggas talking about us again, dog. Like, imagine how fucking Lakers fans feel. They're in the toilet, and every day they dominating the headlines. Like, it's crazy. So, I do think his name belongs in there because it's like he's done it with or without Zach, with or without whoever. Like, if he's on the court, like we talked about before, it's no disrespect to Zach. It's no slight to Zach. But when we have DeMar in that game, I feel like we can beat anybody. You know what I'm saying? But like, it's his IQ. It's everything about – and going back to that stat of him passing Wilt, the fact that people are still breaking, like, a Wilt Chamberlain record, like, in 2022 is phenomenal because it's like, bro, Wilt has some shit. He didn't score 100 points. I'm going to tell you niggas that.
Yeah, I was about to say, I don't know how you know.
Stop being disrespectful to Kobe. Don't say Kobe had the second highest scoring game. He got the number one. I saw that shit happen. Wood ain't scoring 100. I don't give a fuck what a nigga say. But
we got videos of Dr. King getting hit with a brick in Marquette Park. We don't have video.
Niggas got pictures of Bob Cousy dribbling like Stanley from The Office and shit. But not one, you know what I'm saying? Whatever. But that's neither here nor there. But shout out to DeMar because, like you said, he's a shooter. He's not a 8-foot-tall man that's averaging 40 rebounds and just could put the ball back up, whatever. He's a shooter. And he's taking contested shots. All type of shit, shooting off one leg, doing whatever. So I think that's phenomenal within itself. And passing Wilt, you know, and some shit, that should bump you up a little bit. It should bump you up a couple of slots. Like, bro, this nigga just did some
It's something Michael
shit.
Jordan hasn't even done before, bro.
Absolutely.
Like, you know, I will say this about Mike, too. Happy birthday to the GOAT, the real GOAT.
The real GOAT, nigga.
We I keep saying this. When people say, you know you're the GOAT. Shout out my man Larry Legend. He tweeted this. You know you're the GOAT when people refer your name to other great shit. You're the Michael Jordan of this. You're the Michael Jordan of that.
Exactly.
That's when we know you're the GOAT, man. We got to stop having these dumbass conversations, bro. He's the one and only GOAT.
Speaking
and you know what I'm saying, he's gonna get celebrated this weekend in Cleveland. Mm-hmm. You know, the birthday, Jordan birthday, that's how you know you made it in the NBA circles if you invited there. I have not made it yet because I have not been invited to a Jordan party yet, but I will be there
one of these days.
One of these days.
And we're gonna tell that nigga, like, no, you know our third pick. He's gonna be like, oh shit, me. Yeah, you know.
Exactly. You know, so shout out to Mike, man. But Another point that's been, you know, influential in this Bulls run is Vooch, man. And we've been here since day one. Team Vooch. Me and Mariana, we never wavering, bro.
Yeah, we
all y'all niggas calling him Boozer.
Yeah. Nah, I ain't gonna lie. That's the most disrespectful shit I've seen.
Most disrespectful.
Don't ever call that nigga Boozer, dog.
Boozer could rebound half as good as fucking Vooch does,
bruh,
we wouldn't hate him the way we hate him.
Yeah, my nigga. We probably would have took the Heat to 7. Back when we went to the conference finals, if Boozer could do half the shit he does, yeah, we might fuck around and come out on top in that series. I don't know, but shout out to Vooch, dog. We never wavered on our nigga Vooch, man, because we already knew the talent is there. It was never a question of talent. It was only mentally, like, okay, he waiting for other guys to kind of get theirs to fit in. What should he do? Then he was out for a second with was he dealing with COVID?
Yeah, with COVID.
Comes back. You know, he got to work himself back in. But the one thing I like, and the one thing I always said about this team, is that they never going to let their teammates stay down for too long. Like, the guys are going to welcome him back and, yeah, shoot that
shot. Real tight-knit locker room, man.
Yeah, so shout out to Vooch, dog. That nigga, man. He have not been embarrassing us in front of the hoes. He hasn't.
Let's take a look at every game. I got the stats right in front of me. I'm going to name y'all every game, every stat that this nigga Vooch has had since – since this month. Let's just do the month of February. Since that trash game he had in Orlando on the first of February, where he had 18-13, but he was terrible from the field. So against the Toronto Raptors, he had 30 points and 18 rebounds, shooting 13 of 21 from the field. Against the Indiana Pacers, he had 36 and 17, shooting 16 of 21 from the field. You know, he had some so-so games against Phoenix and Philly, still 23-7, 5-1 game. The other game against Phoenix was just straight up terrible. It was 13-12. But against Charlotte, 18-6-8. Mm-hmm. Against Minnesota, 26-7-8. Against OKC, 31-15, 2-2-2-2. And then you got against San Antonio, 25-16-5. And then last night against Sacramento, a nice little humble 21-10 with 3 assists and 2 steals.
Yeah.
And he's been shooting at least over 45% this whole stretch, man. Like, what he's doing is just he's getting back to the Orlando Vooch. And one thing, man, you was talking about, everybody was like, oh, well, you know, he's doing this and that. Is his shot struggling? Yeah, that was part of it. But also, what you got to understand, this dude used to be a number one option. Like, yeah. We're still not even at the full 1 year mark of Vooch being in Chicago, because remember, the trade deadline was in March last year. Right. So we're still not even a 1 year deadline. So he had to get used to, you know, in the second half of the season last year, being a second option. Now this year, you're the fourth option. I mean, third option. So he had to get used to that. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. I think the biggest thing is approval was noticing, yo, when I get in the paint, a lot of niggas can't fuck with me.
Right.
You know, let me stop being parked out from three, and his 3-point shot attempts have gone down over the stretch, and now he's just been dominant, and him and DeMar have been a pick and roll machine. And also, I gotta give it to Ayo probably knows how to hit Vooch in the sweet spots better than anybody else on the team. And I will say this, what we need to see more of, because I feel like only two people actually cut to the basket when Vooch is posting up. That's Ayo and Javante. The rest of y'all niggas gotta start doing that shit.
Word.
And Troy Jones Jr., Troy Brown Jr., this nigga stealing checks. This motherfucker, and not only besides he be missing shots that annoys me, Vooch be wide open, and he'll hit this nigga to like 3 seconds later, and then be a turnover.
Yep.
It'd be fucking terrible. But Vooch has been tremendous, man. What do you think about Vooch, you know, over this street?
I think that he's getting more comfortable in his role, and he's knowing that, like, look, I'm a part of this team no matter what. Like, no matter if I'm getting – however many shots, if I'm getting 5 shots, 10 shots, whatever, I'm still a part of this team. And winning cures all. Like, that's really what it comes down to, because if we were losing, if we just lost 5 in a row, and you look at those same plays and we looking at it like, damn, man, Vooch was open right there, or like Vooch did this, then I think, yeah, maybe it's cause for concern, because it's like, okay, look, we got to move a little different. But Vooch is looking around, it's like, look, this is my home now. Like you said, he haven't been here a year yet, but it's like, dog, this is my team. Like, fuck it. Like, it is what it is. So the more that he starts to settle in, like we've been talking about all season for the last couple months, once he gets settled in and realize who he is and what he means to the team, it's good. Like, he's going to be straight. Like I said, the talent is there, dog. It never was I never questioned his talent. Like I said, I see people on Twitter, and, like, obviously you get, you know, like I said before, the Kevin Love shit, where it's like you do good on a bad team, get to a good team, and it's whatever. Nah, it wasn't really that.
Yeah,
just was uncomfortable in and out of the, you know, it was inconsistencies and shit like that. The team looking a little different, but I gotta take my hat off to him, because he could have pouted, he could have, you know, hung his head and just, you know, shied away and just been disappeared on us, but he didn't. He just keep rising to the occasion, like you said, no matter what. If it's a 12-10 game, a 31-15 game, whatever it is, he's there to give it to us. And you need somebody like that in the playoffs, because it's gonna be games where these teams gonna take Vooch away from us.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? There's gonna be games that's like that, but he can help in other ways. He can pass, he can rebound, he can play defense, and he's not one of those big men who, if he doesn't touch the ball, he's out of the game.
Yeah,
that's what I like about him the most, too. He stays involved in the game no matter what. That's my favorite thing about absolutely. Super
playmaker.
And I think he likes being a playmaker, you know, probably more Now, because he has way more options. Like before, Orlando, like, hey, man, we need you to get a 60 to have a chance at winning. Now it's like, all right, Booch, you can go out there and fucking run some offense, dog. You know what I mean? So, like, he playing with a lot more freedom is what I'm seeing now. So, yeah, I fuck with it, dog. Shout out to Vooch.
Shout out to Vooch Lord, man. Big Vooch, man. I fuck with Vooch. And, you know, I love the trade from day one. And also, it's just – we also talk about this probably, like, how influential he was to getting DeMar here. And shout out to DeMar. He is on the GQ cover this week, man. Mm-hmm. Shout out to Debo. Nice little piece in the GQ this week. Nice little article. He bought Juanita Jordan's house in River North Gold Coast area, which is a nice area in Chicago, downtown Chicago, where only sports and like lawyers niggas live. That's where all the Bulls, Bears, Cubs, White Sox niggas live at. That's definitely one of the areas of Chicago. If you're trying to go to them clubs, they're over there like no shoes tonight, big dog. Like they on that type of time over there. But the third member of this, you know, I guess this big three since Zach has been out has been the one and only Kobe White. And we have been hot and cold on this nigga on this podcast. And I know, I don't know, you know, and we talked about Eminem earlier with a real slim shady stand up, with a real Kobe fucking White stand up. Because after going through that little cold stretch, let me tell you what he's been doing since the trade deadline. Since after the trade deadline, and he's in his spot on the team has been solidified for the rest of the year. Against Minnesota on Friday, he had 22 points, 6 rebounds, shot 6 of 10 from the 3-point line. Against OKC, he has 16 points, 9 rebounds, 5 assists, shooting 4 of 6 from the 3-point line. Against San Antonio on Monday, he had 24 points, 6 assists, 5 rebounds, shooting 5 of 6 from the 3-point line. And then last night against Sacramento, he had a season high, 31 points, 6 assists, 5 rebounds, shooting 6 of 11 from a three-point line, man. Kobe has been just as important as DeMar and Vooch in this stretch because he had to pick up even more because you got 27 points sitting out of the damn lineup with Zach LaVine being on the bench, and he was able to stand up. My question is this for you. One is Kobe just a hot and cold type player, or do you think he's more comfortable now because of trade stuff? And I know he said he wasn't worried about getting traded, but I think that's a bunch of bullshit. Do you think that now that he knows he's not going anywhere, at least for the rest of the season, maybe he's more comfortable with being out on the court?
I think it's a little bit of both, because I do think that his comfort level is up now because he don't have to – he can sit back and be like, whew, all right, cool. I know I'm gonna be here. I ain't finna go to no lottery team or no.
I'm not going to the Pacers and shit.
Yeah, I'm not going somewhere just to be like, yeah, we got you for another couple months, and then we got other plans for you and all this other shit. So, yes, I do think that's part of it. But when you ask, will the real Kobe White please stand up? I think this is the real him. I think you just have to go out there and hope you get a good Kobe White that time. Like there's players in the league that's like that, where it's like, man, if we get a good Kobe White tonight, We got these niggas, but if not,
streaky shooters,
somebody else gonna have to step up. And that's the reason why I love having Io on his team so much, because I feel like you know what you're getting from Io all the time. He's super consistent. He's been one of the most consistent players we had, and it's crazy because he's a rookie. Yeah. But we've been saying all season that he doesn't look like a rookie. He already looked like a pro player as soon as he came to the league, like body language, the intangibles, everything, IQ for sure. But yeah, Kobe is just one of those. He's just a streaky guy, dog. You know what I mean? And I feel like he's not in a bad way, because it's like when he gets in his zone, he's going to take his shots no matter what. That's right. What I've seen from him. He's going to take his shots. Whether they fall in or not is another thing. But I think he knows who he is. He knows his game. He knows, like, his spots where he can get to, even when he's going to the rim. It just depends on what Kobe we get, dog, for real. Yeah. Like I'm done with trying to figure out like who he is or what he. This is who he is to me. Like, this is what it is.
Well, and which honestly isn't bad for a bench player. Which is not bad from a bench player. I'm with you. I'm 50-50 on it. I do think part of it is stability. He knows he's straight for the rest of the year, because I thought that he was going to get traded. I was like, okay. And not because he hadn't been playing well. I think Kobe's had a pretty decent year. It's just because we had some holes to fill, and I thought AK and his value was had up to trade him. But AK had a greater plan, which we're going to get into in a second. But I think it's mixed. I do think Kobe is just a streaky suit until proven otherwise. I'm not going to let 5 games trick me into the entire body work. And maybe it's a mix of, you know, he's further and further away from the injury. So I think we'll have to see. I don't think we'll really know till really the end of the season. honestly, in the season, we see how he plays in the rest.
I'll judge him in the playoffs.
Yeah, in the playoffs too. Playoffs too. You know what I'm saying? But I think this whole team in general has a lot to prove in playoff. I think only niggas on this team who have nothing to prove playoff wise is Alex Caruso, is the champions. Alex Caruso. Yeah. And the guy we'll talk about later, Tristan Thompson. They're the two dudes with championships on this team. They have nothing to prove. Like, everybody else got something to prove. DeMar, as great as he is, is not good in the playoffs. He's not been historically good in the playoffs. Yeah. We know the name, DeFrozen.
DeFrozen.
He's got a monkey on his back. Vooch hasn't really necessarily been good in the playoffs. Yeah. Zach ain't been to the playoffs. Zoe ain't been to the playoffs. So, you know, Billy Donovan has been good, but it's like the only time you went to the conference finals, you had Russ, KD, and then you blew a 3-1 lead. Billy's got things too tough. So, really, this whole team's got things to prove. But Kobe definitely is just really waiting to see, man. So
I think that shit works in our favor, too. You know, I do. With everybody coming in like that, like you said, even with the coach, because he becomes more relatable to the players. Because he can't even go in there like, well, I didn't
want to was here. Out,
whatever. Yeah, it's like, nah, we got to do this shit together. You know what I mean? So I'm with it.
Yeah, and speaking of him coming through, filling in the absence, we've got an injury report. And for the first time on this podcast, we have a good injury report to give y'all. Mm-hmm. So we talked about earlier about the Zach flying to L.A. He flew to L.A. I knew he was fine when he tweeted, like, in the middle of the night. He tweeted a Snoop Dogg, like, laughing and praying. And I was like, okay, that means everything's good. And Bulls fans being the pessimists that they are, I was like, what does this mean? I'm like, my nigga, if it was bad news, he wouldn't be tweeting the fucking gift.
He wouldn't be tweeting at all. Yeah,
he wouldn't be tweeting shit. So once I saw that, I knew it was good. And then the Woj report came out the next morning that he's fine, that they actually sucked some fluid out of his knee, gave him some treatment, and said that after 48 hours, he'll be clear and that he will play in this week's All-Star game. He will be playing in a three-point shooting contest. And they had a little joke around last night after the game. DeMar was in his press conference, and Zach was like, we getting on the same plane? Like, just fucking around with each other. But they all, him, Zach, Ayo, DeMar all traveled together to Cleveland, which I think is dope. And just shows, like, the camaraderie on this team, too. And, but, yeah, so he's cleared. And Billy Donovan said that they are expecting him to play the first game after the break, and that will be at home against Atlanta. So that's good news. And even better news, Captain Caruso himself, Alex Caruso, will be cleared for basketball activity within 7 to 10 days. Yes, so sir. I think, you know, after that, he'll probably need 2 weeks to ramp up. So I'm thinking maybe in the week of March 14th is we could possibly see Alex Caruso back. And I'm thinking that we might get Caruso and Pat in the same week. Now, we haven't gotten, you know, any more news on that besides that fact that AK said that we think he's coming back. And then when Billy Donovan said with about 16 to 14 games left, which has to be for the week of March 14th, just like Caruso. So the good thing is with March, yes, we have a tough schedule. But now we've got Zach back, we've got DJJ back, Javante's beat his injury, so we've got that. And then now you've got Caruso. I feel like it's going to be like the last scene in the end game. Like I said, there's going to be a guy coming each week. So I think Caruso is probably going to come. I think it's either going to be Caruso or Pat who's going to come first. So I think we'll learn a lot more about Pat after the break. But you're going to get those two guys up, and then Zoe at that. And it actually is even better with the Caruso news. I mean, they said reevaluated.
We didn't
even have a date. Like, we knew Zoe 6 to 8 weeks. Right. They said Caruso is going to be reevaluated. So the fact they're not using that word anymore is great. What's your thoughts on this, man, with the Bulls getting healthy?
Dog, all I want is for us to be judged, you know, as a full team, as a healthy team. Because everybody has things to say when we lose to all they losing to good
they
teams on
to
TV.
And
it's like, that's okay. That's cool.
We got Matt Thomas playing minutes, bro.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I'm not going to sit up here and complain, you know, about injuries or shit like that because it's part of the game. But you can't just gloss over it like injuries don't matter because injuries have changed the outcome of whole franchises and, you know, playoff series.
I mean, shit, look at our last championship window.
Yeah.
I was thinking about that today. Like, windows in the NBA last probably about 3 to 5 years. The Bulls,
if you're lucky. Yeah.
If you're lucky. The D-Rose Bulls had a 5-year window.
Yep.
3 of those years, Derek couldn't play.
Yep. Yeah. So imagine if he was healthy for at least one more of those years. Like, at least one.
Yeah.
So, you know, let alone, you know, all three of them. But with Caruso in particular, I feel like he brings something to this team that, like, you saw in the beginning of the season when we had him and Zoe out there. It's like leading the fast break points. And that's the type of shit that gets you early leads on teams and, you know, get that shit out of reach for you because we was running transition. Caruso on ball, take the ball, throw it down the court to the head man. And it's like, yo, we lit. Now we running again. When he's out, it's more half court. It's like, okay, let's settle down. Let's do, you know, it's more team defense thing. Caruso is just he's a dog. He's really like a he's a super important piece to this team.
I bet
team
you the Lakers wish they had him back.
Hell right yeah, now. They do. Yeah. If the Lakers had Caruso right now, them niggas might be number three in the West.
They had Caruso and they actually kept DeMar, them niggas would be killing right now.
Nah, they had them two niggas right now, they'd probably be but number one in the West. I ain't gonna hold one or two out there like we are.
But Kanye said when he won the Grammys, I guess we'll never know. But I think these injuries too is actually the blessing in disguise, and this is why I think that now these guys who've been out of their roles, mm-hmm. when they get back into their roles, they're going to succeed and sell even more. Yeah, like, yeah. I mean, Io's been playing almost 40 minutes a night, going out there guarding the team's best player, mm-hmm. you know, doing all these things. So now when he gets back to the bench, it's going to be even better. When Pat gets back, Javante is going to come on the bench. Yeah. And you got the energy coming off the bench. You got DJ J. So these things, it's going to be kind of like.
Yeah, they don't got to worry about doing too much. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. It's going to kind of be like the Warriors last year. When the Warriors were so beat up. But when you had those young bucks, they got playing time.
Absolutely.
And you see experience. That's helping them out right now.
Yeah.
Right. Since because they had all the time. So I think it's going
to
be.
Because that's the only thing that can teach you how to play is just to play. Yep. You know, you can study as much film as you want. You can practice as hard as you want. But until you get out there in a real game against real competition in games that matter for playoff seeding and, you know, that matter because it's like, yo, we trying to go into the All-Star break and set the tone and shit like that. You need to be out there on the court. You don't need to be, you know, in street clothes sitting back looking at everybody else having fun. When you get out there in those tough situations, those close games against teams you should just be beating on, you know how to play it down the stretch now. So now mentally – you got an advantage over like a team that's bringing some guys off the bench. You know, let's say we get to the playoffs. Pardon me. We get to the playoffs. We play against a team that runs somebody out there who ain't played number three games all season. We going to torture them. Because it's like, bro, you're not built for this. Our bench is built for this. Yep. Absolutely. So, yeah, I'm excited. I'm super excited about getting Alex Caruso back. Like, dog. Yeah,
I'm hyped about all that. Defense is going to look better, man. And remember, the other problem we had was rebounding, which leads me to our next topic. Everybody was panicking a week ago. Oh, they're blowing AKs, blowing a window. You got to go get you a rebounder. We got Tony Bradley, and me and Mariano trying to tell y'all, relax, relax.
Yeah, just AK, relax.
Eversley, they got a plan. And last night, news broke. And funny enough, it came from Rick Carlisle. And Rick Carlisle had one of the funniest press conferences I've seen. He went up there. And by the way, Tristan Thompson had a great game last night, 17 points, 11 rebounds. He went up there and he said, well, it was great while it lasted. We're going to be waving Tristan in the morning. He's going to a contender, a team that's up north, you know, begins with a C, ends with an O. You know, he was professional while he was there. He said, oh, that's Chicago, for those of you who don't know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So that broke. And, you know, Billy didn't want Billy was asked about it. He was like, I don't know what you're talking about. He didn't want another tampering charge that come the way. Obviously, DeMar didn't get the memo because DeMar talked openly about it. And DeMar was like, well, you know, he's a good friend of mine. You know, he's cool. I think he's going to lead right in. And this just shows you that AK stealthy. And there's a reason I say he's stealthy because, yes, we know that, you know, on people's lists, buyout candidates, Tristan was on those lists. But there weren't any active reports of the Bulls actually talking to him. You know, it was the point. I didn't think Tristan was going to get bought out a couple days ago because we had heard nothing. So the fact that this tells you that we never really know what AK is working on. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? And so my question, is there another signing coming? You know, Dragic has been released. I mean, he's been bought out. And, you know, there's he's been in the three teams. I think they said that it's Miami, it's the Bulls, and it's Milwaukee. You're going to be talking to Dragic. Could it be Dragic? Is Gary Harris going to get dropped from Orlando? That could be somebody bring. I remember we actually drafted Gary Harris in one of the many bullshit trades that Gar Pax did. But I think this Tristan signing is great for a couple reasons. One, he's going to be – he just needs to rebound. Like, his role is going to be very short. 20, 25 minutes a game, rebound the basketball, defend. They're really, really not asking anything else. You know, put the occasional tip in the basket. That's all we need him to do. He's going to be I thought about that when I said it. But anyway. But so – you know, I think I had a Kings fan tweet me yesterday, like, who wants to tell them? I'm like, first of all, bro, I'm not taking anything any player ever did on the Sacramento Kings. Okay.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'm not taking anything that ever happened in the Sacramento Kings. He's with the Pacers for like a week. You gotta understand, he's in a these buyout players want to play well for two reasons. When they're gonna be free agents at the end of the season. So they're going to want to get their stock up to get a bigger deal for the off of the season. And now he's on a contending team. He's on a team that has a legit shot of winning a championship.
Yeah.
That's going to bring his level up to another, to even another higher level that I think is going to be important. So, and I don't know what they got, what AK's got up his sleeve. I would not be mad at a Dragic or Gary Harris, anything that we can take.
Bring Gary Harris, dog.
Exactly. So we can get Troy Brown minutes out of there. Either Matt Thomas or Alphonso McKinney is going to be cut to make room for Tristan. I think it's probably going to be Alphonso because I think Matt Thomas' contract is guaranteed. So I think it'll probably be Alphonso who's going to get cut. Mm-hmm. What's your thoughts on Tristan, and do you think there's something else coming?
Oh, man. Where do I begin?
Tristan Kardashian.
There's a Delta. No, I'm playing. like, you know, to be honest, dog, look, as long as he can leave all the off-court shit off the court and just come play basketball, that's really all I care about. I don't know this man personally. I ain't really got nothing against him, you know what I'm saying, on the court. I know that every time I ever seen him play, he was a hellacious rebounder, especially on the offensive end. And if it's one thing we could use with all these shooters and scorers, is more offensive rebounds, dog. Yeah, like, man. Especially heading into the playoffs. Absolutely. Yeah. So I feel like Gary Harris might make more sense than Dragic.
Yeah, me too. Yeah.
I kind of feel like he made – not even May. I feel like he got more left in the tank. And no disrespect,
he's a 3-and-D guy.
He's 3-and-D. He can bring.
Like, we're exactly real guard heavy, especially when Zoe comes back.
Right, 100%. So I mean, I don't necessarily. You can always make room for a vet, for a smart guy like Dragic, but I just don't see us doing that right now, especially with the guards that we have. Gary Harris, I think, in my opinion, makes the most sense of, you know, like who's out who's out there, who's available. But Tristan Thompson, I fuck with it.
Is the best you're gonna get. Yeah. Like, you're gonna have to give a valuable asset to get him, you know. And we make the Tristan Kardashian jokes, but honestly, I don't even care what he do. As much as the shit that Tristan's going through, I don't think it's ever affected his play on the court.
I was just about to say that.
It's never affected his play on the court. Like, even when he's fucking with Chloe and him, he was still on the Cavs, and they were doing pretty damn. He was doing pretty damn well.
Yeah,
I'm not expecting Cav level production, but you know.
Yeah, I've never seen him like you said, like fall off on some shit. Like, oh man, he out there bumming it. But that's because he never was a superstar, which kept him hungry, and he was perfect on those teams.
And he's been on some terrible teams, bro.
Yeah. But he always, like I said, played hard, bought everything, you know, leave it all out there on the floor type of guy. Like, that's the type of guy that we need. Now he has a chance to play with a true contender that can use that. Who knows how far we can go?
Yeah, and it makes life so much easier for Vooch, because Vooch be in a panking mug, dog. Because it makes things very interesting, very helpful for you. Now imagine end of game. Imagine this kind of a lineup you could actually kind of roll with. Like, even if you want to kind of play small, big a little bit, you could have like at the end of the game, like a defensive type purposes, or you're trying to get rebounds. You could roll with a Zach Caruso, DeMar Tristan lineup, or you can put him in for Javante. There's so many different ways we can go on the front court now with him, and that brings different versatility, and that's why I pretty much like about it. Now, we haven't heard any, you know, a lot of people are 50-50 on whether or not Gary Harris is going to get cut or not, but I think the closer we get to March 1st, like, we haven't seen anybody really get bought out except for Tristan and Dragic yet.
Yeah, I think it's happening.
And Bembry got cut. That's a nice signing for Milwaukee, too.
Oh, yeah, They made some sneaky good pickups this week.
Sneaky good pickups. So I think the closer we get to March 1st, then I think we'll start to see more people get picked up. But I know AK got a plan, man, and I think that's his best thing. He showed up, and he did it again, man. So I'm looking forward to having Tristan on this team come off.
It feels good to have your name attached to players that make sense. Yeah. You actually get them. Because in the past, we've dealt with this shit where it's like, oh, this player's getting bought out. This player's on the trade.
The Bulls have never been part of the buyout market.
And we never do shit.
Yeah.
We never do ever. Shit.
And what makes it even better, there was a lot of people who was like, he's probably going to go to the Lakers, the Clutch Connection. People got to understand. People forget that the Bulls are a Clutch Connection now.
Right? I was just about to say, like,
Tristan is the third clutch guy on the roster. You know what I'm saying? Third clutch guy on the roster, man. So, you know what I'm saying? Shout out to Rich Paul.
And we contenders, nigga. Like,
and we contenders. Exactly. The Lakers stink. Niggas ain't going nowhere. But now let's talk about our best moments of the first half. And I do air quotes when I say half, because we're 75% done with the season. We got 27 games left. What's some of your favorite moments from, you know, the first, you know, half, I guess?
Man, listen, my number one favorite moment, I guess, like, I would have to put this all into like a moment, is just IO, like, putting the league on notice. Like, dog, I'm here. I'm fucking out here. My favorite game early in the season, back when we had Zoe, we had Caruso, you got Zach, you got all the guys. And there was one in particular where Zoe threw it up. Bro, Zach came and caught some shit that I was like, hey, man, fast forward to the playoffs right now. Like, fast forward to the playoffs right fucking now, dog. So I think the excitement, because I've been so busy watching the Bulls and enjoying them.
Yeah,
that it just feels like the whole season, you know what I'm saying? So
I really want Bulls fans to enjoy this. I feel like there's a lot of Bulls fans are so worried about the playoffs that they're not able to enjoy it. Enjoy this fun season. What happened? Playoffs is the crapshoot, nigga. Like,
yeah,
whatever happened to playoffs is the playoffs. Yeah, yeah. Enjoy this season while you watch it.
I've been enjoying this season. You know, so I definitely want to say that Io has been my favorite thing about this season. DeMar DeRozan, fucking like just man. Like, what more can we say about this
There's
nigga, man?
Else you
know what I'm saying? Like,
dude,
like, it's
man.
Really nuts. So one of my favorite moments as well is every single night when DeMar busts somebody ass, and I have to go back there and look at those videos of people saying he was the worst signing of the offseason and like, oh, he can't do this or he can't do that, whatever. I think it's just, man, like, it's just the season, dog. Like, to be honest, it's so much shit. You know what
been
I mean?
A fun,
like,
yeah.
I'm just excited. This season right here is my favorite Bulls season in a long time.
My favorite since 2010, 2011. And I say that because, you know, three alpha season was a waste with D Wade and Rondo. But even though 2014, 2015, we won like 52 games. That was a really good season. We all know that this was the last year. We was like, yo, if we don't win the ship next year, this team is getting broken up. So that's why it was more pressure filled to me that year than it was actual fun. The year, 3 years before that were all injury riddles. So I think this is the most fun I've had since 2010, 2011. And, you know, all respect to that team, this team smokes them offensively. I still think that is a better defensive team, obviously. And, you know, on paper, I probably would say it's a better bench. But D. Rose was out there going 1-on-5 a lot of nights, man. This team is out here putting up – not granted, it's a different league than it was, 10 years ago. But this team's out here putting up 135 even with the injury. So this team is just, you know, way more loaded offensively. And it's just fun. And I'm just trying to enjoy it. But my three – I'm going to narrow it down to three favorite moments from, you know, the first 50-something games. My third favorite moment will probably have to be the game where they came back against Boston. I was like, okay, this team might be for real. Even the early, you know, pushed us to 6-1. So this is like not even first 10 games of the season.
Yeah.
But that just showed me the fortitude this team had coming back down. That let me know that I turned that game off because I'm thinking, oh, Bulls.
Here we go
this
again.
And now I'm getting a text like, yo, this game's crazy. The Bulls to the lead. So that'd be my number three moment. My number two moment had to be that New York City, the East Coast swing sweep that we had in December before COVID really hit. We went to the Garden. DeMar shut him up. We went to Brooklyn. Lonzo shut him up. And we took care of them two games. That was really, really fun. I love, you know, telling New York sports fans to shut the fuck up. Especially with all the bullshit Knicks fans. Knicks fans was talking so much shit this year, and they just got awful. So that was mine. But my number one favorite moment is the DeMar back-to-back game winners. I mean,
man, that's the illest shit. Yeah.
That shit was incredible, man. Yeah. And you know, and it's been cool. I advise everybody to watch the Bulls YouTube series called I forgot. I can't remember. You know, I'm bad. But anyway, they got a series. It's All Access. That's what it is. The All Access series. It used to be called Run With Us. Now it's just called All Access. That is documented this season. There's 9 episodes so far. Of course, they're going to do it throughout the playoffs, Bulls TV. Really, really good, man. It goes from spring training where you see – not spring training, but summer league where you see Pat and Io on the same page and at least the season. That's just really like kind of like a documentary hard knock style of the season. So it's really been fun, man. So
I like seeing DeMar do the when he was going against Pat Bev and he did the too small.
Oh yeah, that shit was awesome. Yeah. That shit was awesome. And you know, I love Bev, man.
Absolutely. Players, and you could tell it was like just some
It wasn't like no disrespectful shit.
Yeah, they was fucking around.
Bev was on his face and DeMar laughing, you know what I'm saying? Like and I think even Bev hit him with the too small early in the game.
Yeah.
So you know what I'm saying? That's what I loved about that. But our last topic of the pod. It's a two-part question. And we both gonna talk about one. make your prediction for where the Bulls are going to finish standing wise. Mm-hmm. And number two, give me a bold prediction for the rest of the season, whether it's regular season or playoffs.
Okay. Well, standing wise, I feel like there may be some little half game type of shit that puts us at like third. I want to say, like, you know what I mean? I feel confident saying that we'll finish top three at least. So I'll say that we'll probably finish third. Now, if we fuck around and win some games that we shouldn't win, do this tough stretch, pencil me in for number two. I just feel like number one is like, it's a bit, I don't know, it's a bit audacious to just be like, hey, number one, I don't know. Like right now we are, but I don't know.
And and after All-Star break, I think you're going to see niggas like the Bucks like, okay.
Exactly.
Giannis already like 50 points. This nigga smells 50, 14, and four
or some shit in like 36 minutes. Like something
like two shots. Some ungodly shit.
Yeah, that man is unreal. So yeah, I'm gonna say third. A bold prediction. I'm gonna stick with the bold prediction I made at the beginning of the season. Conference fucking finals.
Okay.
When we get to the playoff. I mean, because I can see that whatever team we play in the first round, I could see us getting them out of there in like six, depending on who it is. Second round, I can see that being tough. But the way that DeMar is playing, I'm confident that we can beat anybody. So, shit, conference finals, dog. Why not?
Okay. I think we're both on the same page. I do think I'm 95% sure this team's going to finish top four. And that's really just a goal. You want first round you want a home court in the first round series because a lot of people forget – United Center is not a place you want to play, dog. Like, United Center playoffs is a whole different thing. It's been so long since that building's been loud in the playoffs, but that is home court advantage to the fullest. I'm with you. I think they're going to finish number three seed. I think the top two seeds are going to be Milwaukee and Philly. I think when Harden starts playing with Philly, they're going to go on a little run, regular season-wise, and they're going to finish in the top two spots. I'm with you, conference final, but since I don't want to have the same predictions as you, I'm going to take it a little step further. Not only is team gonna make the conference finals, I think they're gonna at least get it to a game seven.
Oh shit!
At least I want to take it a little further, so we're not having the same bold prediction. I can't push the NBA finals yet, because I think a lot of shit. Like I think it's real great chance team make the NBA East Conference Finals, but a lot of shit we have to shake in our way for us to actually make it to the finals. You
it's
know
gonna
what
have
saying?
To be a nigga gonna have to fuck around and get suspended or some shit. For
somebody gonna have to get hurt.
Yeah, yeah.
And because Philly's already a bad matchup for us as it is.
Oh man,
we haven't beat Philly niggas, once this season, even when we're healthy.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying. So and now you add Harden to the mix. That's a tough thing. And Milwaukee to me is just the freight train. You know, I still got them repeating.
That's the only team that I'm like scared of. We play them niggas. I told you
as far as fear,
keep it under 10, dog.
There's only two teams in the seven game series where I'm like, oh, they put fear in me. That's the Milwaukee Bucks and the Golden State Warriors.
Yep.
Because the Golden State Warriors kicked their ass in both games, but and they're the Warriors. The Warriors are like
easily too.
Like, you think they give a fuck about Phoenix being the number one seed? No, nigga. Like, these niggas can win on the road with fucking ever. They don't. They just like, let's just get Draymond healthy. So I think that at least I think when healthy, you know, God willing, we don't get hurt for the rest of the year. When healthy, this team can at least push even the top favorites in the East to a seven game series.
Yeah,
so fully healthy.
Don't get it twisted. I'm still betting on us in the playoffs. Yeah. Like, don't get it.
For sure. Well, as soon as April 16th comes, it's fuck all you niggas. It is fuck all you niggas.
I'm getting all of the respect and all this shit out the way. You know,
all respect. Like he's a great player.
Give Dre's props, but that's where it stops. Rock.
Exactly.
Like, understand that. I need y'all niggas to understand that. All this respect going to go way out the window.
Clean out the window. Niggas ain't seen playoffs got them in a minute.
Listen, man, that's what I'm trying to tell you. Like, now, because I know it's other people, other fan bases that tune in and listen to us. You know what I'm saying? Y'all hear me say good things about your team? Cool. When it's wartime,
it's different.
Yeah, I'm going to talk different, man.
I was turned up. I was turned up during the three alphas era, and I knew Boston was going to beat us. So, like, I ain't been turned up since that 2014-2015 season, bro. So, when it comes, it's going to be wartime for that, man. But I'm excited. It's been a great, first three quarters of the season for the Bulls, man. And, you know, now it's playoff time. I mean, now it's go time. Now you've got approximately 27 games left. It's time to gear it up.
Yeah, it ain't no more time for no half stepping.
No more excuses.
Yeah, ain't none of that.
None of that shit.
We need to work all the kinks out right now.
Yeah,
all
time to go out here.
All the
take
bad
care
habits,
of business.
Leave that shit right here. Because, boy, and it's time.
It's time, man. And everybody else, all the contenders, the people who've been here for, their eyes are perked up too. Like, all right, Giannis is already polishing off his MVP trophy, pulling off his finals MVP. All right, nigga, time to go back to back.
Yeah.
Steph and them, like, all right, I hope Denver enjoyed that little win they got last night. You know what I'm saying? We finna get in this real Splash Brothers mode. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And that's what it is, man. So the Bulls need to get tuned up, and I'm excited, man. So there will be no pod next week because there will be nothing to talk about because there won't be any games. You know what I'm saying? So we back.
Watch us at All-Star Weekend, though.
Watch the guys All-Star Weekend. Io will be part of the World Rookie Game. I still call rookie
I was about to say, yeah, it's the rookie game to me still.
And they got like a new format now. I don't really know how the fuck that's going to go.
I'm going to call him Clay.
Yeah, exactly. So we're going to see how that goes tomorrow. Zach is in a three-point shooting contest on Saturday. And, of course, Zach and Debo in the actual game on Sunday. So full Bulls representation this week. I'm looking forward to the top 75 halftime presentation. I remember how they gave niggas a cool Letterman jacket back in 97. Yeah. I wonder if they're going to do that this time. So that'd be fun to watch, man. We appreciate all y'all for listening to this podcast, man. We'll be back in 2 weeks to get up with y'all. And we'll have video for y'all in 2 weeks, man. So we are out. Third Pick Podcast. You want to follow me on Twitter at Barbchair Scott. Mariano, let me know if they can get tuned with you.
Yeah, man. Again, like Scott said, man, you know, thanks for all of y'all that take the time out to tune into us, to retweet us, to, you know, tell a friend and all that. You know, keep checking us out, dog. Just follow me on Twitter at Mariano, 2 N's, 2 O's. Instagram at Mariano Bibbins, man. You know what I'm saying? We out here.
Yes, sir, man. And of course, you can follow the Barbershed Network at Barbershed Net on Twitter and Instagram. If you want to see the video for this podcast and other podcasts starting next week, subscribe to the Patreon, patreon.com/Barbershed Network for the $10 package, which is the Barbershed All Access. And of course, you have another package that we just debuted this week, the 79th and Hallis package, only $5, where me and my brother Flo's are doing a new series next week. We're called 79th and Hallis Presents. We're going to be watching, it's going to be like a video type reaction. We're going to be watching classic Bears games. We're going to kind of be like live commentating, reacting to it.
Oh, that's
going
to be
check
crazy.
That out. And my
that's
brother,
gonna be crazy.
That's going to be fun. We're going to start with the 2006 season, which is the season we went to the Super Bowl. So peep that. My brother's going to be doing like a little Baldies breakdown type video where he's going to be breaking down like different players and seasons. So check that out. $5. And of course, the Summer Sessions package. And by the time you listen to this, yes, Summer Sessions is out. It's been 2 weeks. We're back. Check it out, man. So we out. We'll holler at y'all niggas in 2 weeks, man.